Hello, everybody. We've got Jeremy Ayres here today. He's the fourth member I have managed to interview of the Human Unleashed guys. Finally managed to get him on a couple of weeks later, but thanks for coming on, buddy.
Oh, you're very welcome, Alex. You're very welcome.
Could you give a basic overview of your history, what you've been doing for the last few years?
Yeah. I'll try and keep it really short. If you want a longer version, go and see my interview with Phil Escott, who you interviewed recently on his channel. But about 30 years ago, I was an international canoeist for Great Britain, and I hurt my back very badly, and I ended up in front of an osteopath. I'd never liked doctors. I don't know why, I just never had. And I'd never been to an osteopath, and I went to see an osteopath who was connected with the Olympic training squad, a portly fellow, looked more like an old-fashioned butcher, if anything. And he had a sort of factory farm clinic set up, where there's lots of little, curtains separating, and he was a good chap, but I think he was in for making money. And he handed me over to an East European woman that had more facial hair and muscles than me. And she gave me a terrible, terrible massage where I was literally torture. And at the end of that, Ron Johnson came in and put me into what I thought was a pseudo-sexual position at that point, because there was no explanation of what he was doing, and cracked me. And my back pain was, 80, 90% gone. And that was it. It was instant right there. I just said, I have to do this. So, cut a long story short, I got myself into what was considered the premier osteopathic college in England. And after a year on that course, I was absolutely bored out of my brains. I couldn't believe it, and I was absolutely bored, apart from the anatomy teachers who were brilliant, who were pathologists, criminal pathologists. They were fantastic. And sitting next to me was a northern chap who's a very good osteopath. He turned to me and he said, "This is shite, isn't it?" I couldn't believe someone else was thinking this, because I wasn't confident enough to say it. And I kind of said, "Well, yeah, I'm pretty bored." And he said, "Well, my father trained up north with a legendary chap who I didn't know at the time, called Harry Hawes. And he's started a course again up near Durham. And do you want to come and have a look at it?" So I went up north, and you'll probably be too young, but if anyone's out there that remembers Hammer House of Horror movie series, they're always sort of, on moors with fog and old buildings. And off we went to this Ushermore College, which is actually a Catholic training school, and turned up. The equipment was secondhand and ripped. I've come from really good equipment. Everything was very cold and damp in there. And I walked in and wondered why I was here. And then Harry came out, who was 76 at the time, impeccable man, and started speaking. And that was it. You just knew you were in the presence of a great man, a great healer, and a very knowledgeable man. Not that he described himself that way. Mm. But anyway, I studied. So I switched courses and studied with Harry and qualified as an osteopath. And by the time I'd come out of there, I had, shall we say, the bug of learning, and I really, really was quite obsessed with trying to work out, let's just say, the worst illnesses of this planet that we enjoy, their causes and how to remedy them. I was going to go and do a chiropractic degree in the States with a scholarship, but Harry stopped me, and rightfully so, and he encouraged me just to start working, and that's the best university of all. But within that short period of time, and it was actually at the Osteopathic Awards where I was put forward for Osteopath of the Year, which I didn't get, and I'm glad to say I didn't, because there was someone much better than me who got it. But at that awards, I had a fantastic night the night before, incredibly drunk, and woke up the next morning with a hell of a hangover, and knew I had to go and see this woman who was lecturing there at 10 o'clock in the morning, who was going to talk about water for 2 hours. And at the time, I thought, how on earth can anyone someone talk about water for 2 hours. So anyway, I walked down, and if you've been into any hotels, you know, the conference rooms tend to be double doors because they're fire doors, but it was like an old Western bad movie when you walk into the saloon bar. So I walked in late, clearly hungover and looking it, and everyone stopped and they looked at me, and Barbara Wren stopped and looked at me, and I sort of scuffled to the back and sat down, and then she began talking again. And within a few minutes, my jaw was on the floor because this woman was describing dis-ease, and that's how I will word it, in a way that I'd never heard anyone discuss it before. And she made the complex simple, and I was absolutely mesmerized by her and her knowledge and the way she delivered it and how she demystified so much in such a short period of time, so much so that in my confidence and arrogance, I went up to her at the end, expecting her to be overjoyed at my statement. And, you know, I said to her, you've really got to teach me this. And she said, no, just like that. And she said, go away and drink 4 pints of water for 8 weeks and call me, which I did. And that was the beginning of a great change. And cut an even longer story short, I went on to be mentored by her, train with her, and ended up teaching at her college, Barbara Wren, an absolute genius at the time, who was absolutely hounded a few years ago by some terrible, inaccurate reporting by the BBC, who managed to splice different clips together so that the mouth and the hand looked like they were saying two different things, and made her look like a fool, where I can assure you she's one of the greatest assets this country has ever produced. So to my knowledge, she's gone into hiding. But ever since then, I've spent the last 30 years, or at least the last 25 years, I don't even know if you call it research, because it's just constant, hours and hours and hours. And, you know, depending on what your audience is interested in, at the time when you first began, you may think, as I did back then, that there would be some course or, you know, university degree or master's or PhD or something that would lead you to knowledge that truly could help heal the worst of things that human beings suffer from. But what you find is not only is that not available, it's quite the opposite. It's a landscape of disinformation. The real knowledge is very guarded. And anyone who gets near to it, like Barbara Wren, and starts getting too big, although the climate's changing very rapidly now, but certainly last 10 years or so, is usually character assassinated, ridiculed, or their career is discredited and destroyed. In fact, that used to be a sort of badge of honor. If you're being destroyed by the state, so to speak, under the guise of protecting people from quote-unquote quacks or non-MDs or something, that was almost a badge of honor that you could be pretty much sure they'd got into the fields of where the true knowledge is. Not always, of course, but pretty much that's what history has shown, at least over the last 80, 90 years since the Flexner Report came in America, which is a Rockefeller-backed ploy business model to take over the world's medical practices, which is done. Every country in the world legally is protected by medicine and their methods. And I think you're going to see, in fact, I think you've begun to see the beginnings of a very, very big change from those philosophies, because it was a very, very dirty business model. It was a business model. Medicine is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, business on the planet. And it needs sick people. And currently we live in a world, and of course, you know, what are we, April 22nd, 2020, where the whole world is locked down and most people are scared of an alleged virus that hasn't been properly purified or isolated yet. But prior to that, most people would believe what their doctors said. And if you asked anyone in any country, in the last 50, 60 years, as I do regularly, as a people, are you healthier or sicker without exception, people say sicker. In fact, they all know they're much sicker. So if you look at medicine as a business model, it needs sick people to thrive and grow, and that is entirely what it's created. And so just to clarify for anyone listening who may not have heard someone like me talk like this, I'm not suggesting that doctors and nurses are bad people, although we do know there's bad people in every profession, there most definitely are. What I am suggesting is that good people have gone into these professions wanting to help their fellow man, and they soon discover that they're not able to actually do that. And in fact, they have to toe the line, do as they're told, and otherwise they lose their license or worse. And I'm very happy to say many, many doctors are now starting to stand up because of the internet and YouTube. We have a few contacting us. We've known they've been watching us for some years, the nurses for sure, but now the doctors are standing up. And all we want to create, and this is the Human Unleashed and that wonderful team of Ben Hunt, Graham Norbury and Phil Escott and also John Gusty, our publisher that I work with, all we want is a level playing field and an environment where it is encouraged and protected to question, think and to work together to enhance and progress medicine, science and healing. And so that's a big intro, but that's really as quickly as much I can, you know, qualify it in a few minutes.
That's a great intro. So you mentioned 100 odd years ago the Rockefeller-backed medical practices. What was the documentation called?
It was the Flexnor, F-L-E-X-N-O-R report. The Flexnor report. And it was genius. I mean, these people that I believe had nefarious intent were many things, but stupid isn't one of them. And back in the day, medicine and naturopathy, chiropractics, osteopathy, homeopathy sort of thing were a level playing field. And so what happened very, very basically is the Flexnor report, sponsored by the Carnegie Foundation, which is a Rockefeller set up foundation. It's equivalent to Ansel Keys' China study, where it is not even pseudoscience, it's fraudulent science. But what they did was they went out and investigated, if you like, all these different schools and practices, and they came back and they present a very skewed report. And so funding takes place so that laws get changed. And so they basically set up very, very high levels that the universities and colleges had to achieve to be legally registered. But what they do, just like natural supplements, to get the reason on natural supplements you have not tested or what have you by the FDA is because it's something like 10 million, some stupid number like that, to get it tested. So you can't, you're not in the same game. So they set barriers up that were unattainable. And so what happened was most of the schools had to close while the medical MDs got huge, huge amounts of money. And there was always someone from the Carnegie Foundation sitting on the board of those hospitals. Remember, the hospital schools used to be church. They all become from the church. So infiltration, as JFK talks about. So you infiltrated someone on the board who's the money. And if you let's say you were a chiropractic or osteopathic school and you didn't want to go under and you took one onto your board, it would slowly but surely be changed over time until that medical philosophy, which is, what's the right word? I don't even like the word alternative because that's their word, but not in line with their medical philosophy, would be slowly but surely watered down and corrupted. And so you have today chiropractics, osteopathy, naturopathy, these things have been much been watered down. And Harry Hawes, who is one of my great heroes and first mentor at 76, was fighting to stop national registration of the osteopathic councils in this country, because as he said to me then, this is way before the internet and things like this, he said they're not doing it to enhance osteopathic education and philosophies and protect people. He said they're doing it to provide jobs for people that aren't very good osteopaths in the register, in his view, but also to start watering down the true philosophies and produce really a very, very watered down version of the original. And that's indeed what we have. And I'm sure there's some very good osteopaths and chiropractors out there, but they're few and far between in my experience. And the knowledge is not what it was. And also they're petrified to step outside of these very contained boundaries that they've been put in, which was not the original philosophies of chiropractics and osteopathy. They were entirely complete philosophies of healing. And so what you have basically achieved is an incredible business model that took over the world and removed competition, shall we say. And all we fight for is the right for people to choose. And that is what is evidently not out there right now, legally and every other way. If you're sick or what have you, legally the only ones really protected are the doctors. And quite honestly, after 30 years of taking case histories and helping people that no one else has been able to help and helping them get well, doctors or medicine, whether knowingly or not, have caused a great deal of that harm and suffering that these people have endured.
I think particularly doctors and nurses, they're good people. I think you said that earlier. A lot of them are good people, and it's sort of, they've just been misled that, you know, this is the only way of doing things, right?
It's even worse than misled. It's very deliberate. And I did an interview some years ago with one of my great supporters, who's a wonderful ex-nurse. She was an oncology nurse, cancer, if you don't know what oncology is, listening, in America for 18 years. And she was top of her game, and she loved it. She absolutely loved being an oncology nurse. And after 18 years, a couple of incidences happened on the wards that just seemed to flick a switch and wake her up, and she saw what she was doing. Because to my dying day, you will never convince me that radiation, which is known to cause cancer, and chemotherapy, which is just pure poison, is therapy. Yeah. Not to this day. But anyway, she saw, and she'd become a whistleblower, and she was under a lot of, you know, fortunately she's managed to stay out of prison, and but she was highly criticized by her colleagues. But she came out and did a lot of interviews, and she was fascinating. And I asked her, you know, and I think this is true for a lot of doctors and nurses right now, I asked her, why did it take you to 18 years to see what you now see so clearly? And in particular, oncology is really, really causing most of the suffering and fatalities. And she said, well, when you're in it, you absolutely believe you are at the tip of progress. You know, you have ego, you have credentials, you have colleagues. No one is questioning anything else. There's always been an atmosphere that you can't question outside of this, because if you do, you very quickly are warned or potentially lose your license and all your hard work. So when you're in it, it just literally becomes like professional Groundhog Day. And so, you know, for many good nurses and doctors out there, if you remove their credentials and the little titles that they have in front of their names or what have you, and just strip it back to we're all human beings with certain degrees of knowledge, I believe in their gut, they know things are not right. And maybe 15, 20 years ago, there was an excuse to be ignorant to other concepts. Certainly isn't now. And our publisher told us the other day because a lot of our YouTube and broadcasts over the years have seemingly quite low numbers. And I've said for a long time, I'm sure many more people are watching them than we're told, because we have so many people writing to us. And he said, I can assure you the numbers are not what they say. They're much higher, because he puts trackers on them. So now, and just recently, we've had a very brave doctor talk to us, is in conversation with us. And he says he's been following me for 7 years and has learned, you know, loads from me, which I'm very glad to hear. But the bottom line of this is not about us against them, because it's most definitely been them against us. This is about creating an environment that we can openly, fairly, and with equal protection, support, financial and otherwise, work together to really push the boundaries of what's right. I mean, we have to pause for a moment, particularly in this time, and remember things like the germ theory, which medicine was mostly built off, is still a theory. It is not, most people believe it's just absolutely done, and it's not. It really isn't. There is a greater argument to explain bacteria and more, called the pleomorphic theory. And there are wonderful people, including Greyfield Microscopy, I think it's Greyfield Microscopy, who are one of about 5 or 6 modern scientists that have developed microscopes that are able to see living in real time bacterial and other material morphing and changing into different states depending on the change in the environment, which completely supports the pleomorphic and completely contradicts the germ theory. So we've got so much out there now where if an environment was created worldwide, I believe, and I've been pushing for this for about 20 years and it's coming together now, that the what I call the true scientists, the true doctors, and also the true ancestral and tribal people who have got much to bring to the table. And in fact, when you have done the kind of research I've done and spoken with the people that I've spoken with over 30 years, they're all saying similar things from different angles, from the tribal people to the Eastern medicine to what I consider the true scientists. And by the way, many of these great people are self-taught, self-researched, and thank God, they're some of the most brilliant people I've ever had the good fortune to have any associations with. So that's essentially what my work is about and what I'm transitioning into now. And certainly the Human Unleashed, we're all about, let's question it again in a civil manner, so that we can create a forum where real truth, real science, and real healing can be created. I think we're doing a really good job, actually.
I agree. And obviously, natural healing and those arts, I mean, they've been around for thousands of years, possibly millions of years. And it's only been the last 100 years or so, really, that it's sort of been, you know, we've gone down the vaccines and down all that route. But obviously, that's only a tiny little piece of the pie, really, isn't it? Because we've got the financial system, we've got every other modern day system that we're living in, particularly in the West. It all sort of happened at a similar time, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, in that time frame. Do you think this is a fairly recent thing, or do you think this is actually thousands of years old, what's actually going on today?
Do you mean in relation to this crisis?
This crisis, but the system itself, because essentially we're all debt slaves anyway, how it's been set up. So is this just another chess move, or is this, in your opinion, is this like an awakening?
Oh, there's no doubt it's a mass awakening. There's absolutely no doubt. Okay, so I think to try and answer that question as best I can in the time we've got, the world, no matter what tribe, country, language, religion, background you have, universally hates liars. No matter where, I've traveled extensively, wherever you go, if you find out you've been lied to, there's something wired into us that makes us very upset about that and very difficult to forgive. It takes a lot, once you know someone's lied, to repair that and repair trust. And there's something inherent in all people where trust and honor is very, very sacred. So when you start to look at any number of different things that have seemingly been established, such as money, the financial system, most people, in fact, all people were not educated, although I'm told at the very upper schools they are, but most people were never taught about money and the banking system and have no idea where money comes from. Why would they, right? And if you just ask yourself, how does money even get circulation in the first place? It should pose some pretty interesting questions. They don't just dump it in the street with a truck and then it's all grabbed up and starts circulating. So when you start looking, and I think I've looked at all what I call the sacred cows, when you look at any of the major pillars that have held up human society or human civil society, and you come to realize without a question that everything you've been told was wrong, i.e. deliberate intentional lies, and that there is no debt, it's all manufactured at the high end of where money starts, it's all just, you know, trickery of typing things or pieces of paper. When you understand that, and why that, what that debt created was basically a modern financial slavery system where your person, because you're a human being and a legal entity, which is a person, which is why they only ever speak about persons. They never say people or human beings. And that person is registered and is basically used as collateral and is used as a slave for your energy to work for many, many years to create something real while paying back the interest, which is what your income tax. When you find all this out, and if anyone's watching is like, what the hell, I didn't know he's going to be talking about this shit, but I have imagined that your audience already knows this, but if you find out that that's a lie, then very quickly, and I mean very quickly, it's much easier to look at all the other sacred cows of the pillars of society and so-called civil society, and have a good look at them and see if they're honorable and true and correct what we've been told. And what you find is that they aren't. And so when you establish that in your own mind, your own satisfaction, you have to logically come to the conclusion that someone has consistently been organizing this, not in your interest. And I'm going to pause for a second there, Alex, because when I speak like this, you have to remember, I was talking to my son recently on a walk in the countryside to remind him of his history. Our grandfathers, at least my grandfather, great-grandfathers, fought in wars, were in prisoner of war camps. Many, many people before us have died horrifically or been suffered and changed horrifically because of wars that were manufactured by bankers and other entities attached to them for their gains of land and, you know, laws and what have you, and nothing to do with freedom of rights and things. So when I talk like this, it at some point when you research these things, you have to come to the conclusion that there are hidden, maybe not so hidden, orchestrated entities that have led us throughout many generations, not to our benefit. And so when you say in this time, is it a great awakening? Abso-fucking-lutely. Because what if you believe the mainstream media, which I somehow doubt any of your audience does, but many people still get their information, then you would have swallowed everything that's going on, and right now you will be in huge fear. And by the way, fear in Chinese medicine is at the core of all disease. And if you're in extreme fear, your immune system won't function well, and you are going to manifest illness. In fact, the Aboriginals use it as a death sentence in tribal law. When they ostracize an Aboriginal tribal member permanently from the tribe, they know it's a death sentence because they're so isolated and so fraught with fear of the isolation that they go on to die. It's literally how the Aboriginals issue a death sentence. It's their highest punishment. So if you follow mainstream media right now, you're living in a manufactured prison in your mind where everywhere there is an invisible virus that can affect you and kill you rapidly. But if you're not, many, many people, and this is evident by the social media and the comments on people like Bill Gates and some of the Hollywood stars, it's just they're being crucified. But if you're not getting your information from the mainstream media, and you have learned that, as JFK said, we should question the mainstream media as they should question them. But we're not allowed to if you follow their directive. But if you question and look at it, as many people are, very, very quickly, you come to at least realize something's not right here to shut down an entire planet. And what it seems to, I said to Phil, it seems to be the virus that he's giving. Because what we have tremendous positive things that appear to be happening. People are looking at material they've never looked at. They are questioning things. They're coming to see that what they believed how the world was run isn't. And I think it's a very, very positive thing because as President Trump, whether you like him or not, said the other day, as far as he can tell, there's a unification coming together of the people. And I think he's absolutely right. With the exception of those that follow mainstream media, they're in living hell right now. And if there is, by the way, which I don't believe there is, because no virus, to my knowledge, has ever been purified and isolated, which is the correct scientific process, and then proven to be pathogenic, certainly not this one. But if there is a virus out there, a natural and not tampered with, causing infection, which I don't believe either, but if there is, then certainly their methods of treatments are really not ideal, as their own studies are showing and how many of the doctors are speaking up. You would want to be absolutely boosting the immune system. You would absolutely recommend sunshine exposure, as they did, look it up, in the TB clinics, where they would usually have clinics 4,000 or 5,000 feet above sea level, because there was 20% more UV sunlight, and they with all these pictures of the hospitals built facing the sun, they were outside. So when you understand that just about every directive you're given is contrary to what we've recommended in past real pandemics, you have to say why, and you have to question.
Jeremy, let me ask Jeremy why then. You said you need to ask why. Why would they invert everything? What would be the purpose?
Well, first of all, just like the good doctors and nurses out there that genuinely are doing their very best and genuinely want to heal, but their hands are tied because they have to do what they're instructed to do. And most people don't realize that once a diagnosis is given, they have certain directives that they must follow. They can't really step out of that. There's a thing called repeating. So basically the way a pyramidic structure of control, hierarchy works, is directives are handed down. So it's just repetition, 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 repetition. So many of the voice boxes, the people standing up as politicians and talking right now, they're just repeating what they're being told. They're reading from auto cues. I mean, go and look at Barack Obama on YouTube. Just put Barack Obama auto cue fail, and you'll see he was an excellent actor in my view, who's very, very good at reading auto cues. But when they break, he absolutely had no idea what he was talking about. Now, if you and I were talking, and let's say I was reading it from a pre written script, and all of a sudden that was taken from me. I might be flustered for a few moments, but I'd be able to conduct myself and go, okay, where was I? And speak from confidence. When you see these people and their auto cues on the tele live vision break down, you see the true man or woman. So I would say that what you're witnessing is a great awakening to systems that could work for the benefit of the people, but the wrong controllers have been at the top, therefore pulling the strings, repeating it down. A corporate hierarchy structure can be incredibly powerful to do mass things for major amounts of people, because it's just such a powerful structure. The tribal people use circles, so they would have rings of discussing things, but that only works in a very small amount of people. Try and do it with a great number of people, and it's just constant argument and disagreement. Hierarchy, someone finally has to make a decision, pass it down. So I would say that the system that we live in is very possible to work beneficially for all. It just needs the right people literally in place from the top down, and the right people from the bottom up to make sure that they're properly public servants. I mean, this is a word that's used, they're public servants. And I have to laugh, because when was the last time you could even get near one of these people and they listen to you? They talk. I mean, my mother has always said to me, how do you know when a politician's lying? She says their mouth moves. So I think everybody in every country kind of laughs at that, as you did, because it's kind of known. And the really good ones tend not to get to the top, the ones that really are trying to do grass work. So I think what we need is and it's happening, is an exposure of everything from the corruption, the good old fashioned basic investigative journalistic techniques of following the money, exposure of where all the money tentacles go, how all the, they call it lobbying. That's just a nice word for bribery, blackmail, and skullduggery behind the scenes. But once it's all exposed, I think that's what's happening, and right down to potentially horrific criminal organization and acts. Once it's all exposed for everyone to see, if it's not there, it won't be exposed. If it is, I believe you will see it and are seeing it. Then we're in a perfect position, all of us right now, we're in our homes, watching the internet, watching TV, to see this. And once we see it, it can't be put back in the bag. And once we see it, I believe we'll come together as a people worldwide, because having traveled, my experience is that people are good. They want families. They want to work on peace. They want to work. They want to be left alone. And within all of that, you have common law under different names, which I think works beautifully and doesn't need to be. You could be illiterate and know common law, which I support to my dying day, which is do no harm. And you're basically free to do whatever you want, as long as you do no harm. And if you do harm, it then has to be adjudicated by a peers of 12, which is a very strong number, to see whether it was deliberate or accidental, because the two outcomes are very, very different. Yeah. If it was deliberate with intent or whether it was accidental, the two very different outcomes. So I think we're seeing, no, I don't think at all. We are seeing a great awakening, and that's why I call it the virus that keeps giving.
Yeah, I think a lot of people wouldn't agree with that.
Yes.
But those are going to be the people who are so stuck in mainstream anything that they can't see the wood through the trees. What would, in your opinion, is the elite being done for money or power or for some other nefarious reason? What's it for? Because surely if they can just print money, for example, the Federal Reserve, they just print it, do what they want. But I think they've increased the balance sheet by about 4 million in three, 4 trillion, sorry, in 3 weeks or something. So is it for money? Because it makes no sense if they can just print it on a whim. Is it for power, energy, what?
Yeah, there's some things I won't say on this podcast, but before I go and answer some of that, what I will say to people if they're listening that are surprised or shocked at what I just said. you need to go back and listen to some of the doctors speaking up about the coronavirus diagnoses, because what is absolutely factual is the data coming from the government bodies is showing that from Italy, it was 98% of people that were labeled COVID-19 deaths were all over 80 and already had serious illnesses, were expected to take their life. The diagnosis, there is no clear test, not anywhere, to diagnose a specific virus called COVID-19. The current test is 80% false positive, and perhaps even worse, and even then if it's positive and proven to be correct, it's not identifying a single virus, it's identifying genetic material, which could be several hundred different causes. And so to the people that don't want to accept anything I say, and that's fine, you do need to understand that there really is no positive test. And therefore, where you see these seemingly escalating numbers and you know, people telling me that their dad or something died of it, you have to then go further and go, well, were they already unwell? Were they smoking? Were they vaping? Anything that affects the lungs? Were they exposed to 5G or any other stresses or chemicals? And this is a very stressful time. As I said, it's going to make people sick. And then very, very, very importantly, watch treatments did they receive? Because at the moment, they're mandated immediately that you put the COVID-19 label upon them. Most of them are mandated to intubate rather than a ventilator and a mask, to intubate down into the lungs. And the doctors are coming forward now, thankfully. We were saying this some weeks ago, and saying that is usually what's causing the death, particularly after 5 or 7 days, because the pressure of the oxygen is damaging the already lungs, and that's what's causing the problem. So good doctors are standing up, some of them with masks on because they're still frightened of being exposed and losing their job. So, you know, just keep in mind that what you're told is nowhere near established, proven, done deal. Anyone like me or the guys talking are just, you know, idiots or whatever, or worse. So in answer to your question, this is what I am prepared to say at this moment, is that if it was just about money, they wouldn't really need to do any of these things because they own it, print it, and control it. They own most of the physical wealth on the planet that is of any use. So it must be more than that. Most people, the next level that they would look at is then it's about power. And power is potentially the greatest drug of all is power, and can corrupt many, many people. Ultimately, I think it's about energy. And if you look into the ancestral and tribal knowledge, every tribal people that I've spoken with and researched, they've all talked about, the Gnostics have talked about it, have talked about a parasitical entity or being on this planet, none of which that I can satisfactorily show or prove, but I think it should not be ignored that every tribal people have words for it. The Gnostics called it Archonic or the Archons, but basically they all have similar stories talking about, the Muslims call them jinn, for example, the Christians demons, that sort of thing. But what I would say is that they all talk about that they are after energy of human beings, and specifically fear. And I think the movie Monsters, Inc., you should go and watch it if you've never watched it, and there's some really brilliant breakdowns on YouTube, is an incredibly revealing movie. It is not a kid's movie. It is an exposure. They love to flaunt it. And why do they love to flaunt it? Because they do believe in karma, because karma is true. And many of the things I will share or have shared at this point in time can't be measured. And so scientific brains will say, well, it doesn't exist. But they haven't measured gravity either yet. But many of the things that some of the great people have spoken about in great detail can't be measured or seen with normal technology, shall we say. But nonetheless, they've all spoken about it. And Monsters, Inc. is probably one of the most significant movies to expose what I think has been going on, especially when you look at it, that the world and what is a, what would you say is consistent in the world, especially now, it would be fear-mongering. We have lived in my whole life, I mean, I don't know how old you are, Alex, but my entire life, the news has always been about death, imminent war, nuclear war, disease, old women being robbed and beaten up horrifically so it scares your mother, a rape, you know, it's just constant fear. Never enough money. Fear seems to have been the major weapon, and it seems to be the most sought after currency, I would say. And those, I'm not going to say any more than that today, but any of those who are listening who know what I'm talking about know exactly where to go and look and follow that white rabbit, shall we say.
Yeah, I think, as you say, that these have all been documented, spoken about through, you know, verbally passed down as myths and fairy tales and whatever for thousands of years. And it's very easy now with our modern technology to just simply dismiss these things because it's not in our range of sight, hearing, taste, smell. And yes. People just dismiss it out of hand.
Well, one of my favourite movies is The Usual Suspects, which is a very clever movie. And there's a line in it, and I'm not religious, so if I say things that sound, I don't think I'm necessarily relating to that. But there's one of the lines is that the greatest trick the devil ever played was to convince people he didn't exist. And I think science, which is the new religion, and I'm not saying there isn't good science, but if you listen to Zoe Halcombe, who is absolutely brilliant scientist in the UK that we've had the good pleasure to interview. On the Human Unleashed, which is in the members area, because in the members area where we interview experts, they're encouraged to speak more freely than they would more publicly. And she confirmed what we already knew, that there's almost no real science going on in the world anymore. You know, 90-95% of it is all sponsored, or basically you're trying to get the result of whoever's funding you. So when I say science is the new religion, it seems to me that one of its major goals has been to establish that what can't be measured isn't real. And that serves what we're talking about now, because anyone who would dare suggest that there may be more nefarious energies at play, let's word it that way, loses all credibility of whatever profession, such as mine, that they're trying to promote. But the fact is, when you talk to the tribal people, and one of my great friends, John Beach, who we interviewed, who works with the Amazonian tribal people, the Yawanaway, and I'm sorry, John, I'm sure I've pronounced their name wrong again, but these Amazonian tribal people live 4 days into the Amazon jungle. They have doctors who are called pajes, I think it is. They go at least a year into the Amazon forest for isolation, to learn the plant medicine until the plants speak to them. Most of the tribal people speak this way, by the way. And so they come out and they will tell you categorically that there are entities and energetics attached to you. And the only way I can make this credible for anyone listening is if they've ever had a drug addiction, whether that be food or sugar or cocaine. And John had a cocaine addiction. And he'd given it up, but he would say that this thing would call to him. And that's how he found the Amazonian tribal people who recognized something into him and have brought him very much into the village and some very special ceremonies. But basically, when they worked on him, they explained to him that cocaine, which used to be a very sacred medicine before, I think it was the Spanish came in, saw what it was doing, killed a lot of people, took it for nefarious money as a drug. And so there's blood, it changed the energetics. And so they explained that there are energetic tentacles from this into him. They removed them, amongst a few other things. And you could put a bowl of cocaine in a room with John and it wouldn't be a problem. And he's gone on to help many, 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 many people with problems that they couldn't resolve. With the help of the Oanoe people and the Pages. And so what I'm encouraging is bringing the tribal knowledge They think we're mad that we don't accept that our ancestors and other things are in this plane that we can't see, that very often dogs and cats can, because their visual scope is wider, broader than ours. So I hope we will soon be in a time where the conferences that I hope to create are the great tribal knowledge, the true scientists, the true open minds, the real scientists, the real doctors, the real people, exploring all the elements, all of them, that have made not only or bring man dis-ease, but society. Because I honestly believe not only can we remedy them, but we can create truly a golden era and a heaven on earth. We truly can. And I believe we're about to see that.
I hope you're right. I've done some work with shaman in the past. I've done plant medicine rituals, ayahuasca and things like that. And this is how I know with complete certainty that what you said is true, with complete certainty.
And it is true.
Yes, it's just that I can't prove it to you, I can't prove it to anybody else, and that's probably the issue. But and I'm definitely not encouraging people to take that path. I think she calls you if you need to go.
Well, there's things that can't be taught.
Yeah,
you have to know, you have to experience it. I've had the privilege of doing case histories and broadcasting and interviewing people for nearly 25 years to 10, 15 years broadcasting, but within my case histories, I've had the privilege of many, many nurses. Only two doctors have come to me in 30 years and they didn't do what I said to do. But many, many nurses, and many of those nurses worked in hospices or end-of-life care. And all of them, and many nurses as well, but all of them would tell me that they had countless experiences where the first one is always the most shocking. Yeah. Where someone, yeah. One of the patients, they were in their room or something doing some, you know, paperwork or something. They turned up and they would just say, look, I just want to thank you very much for all your help. And the first time it happens, they kind of go, yeah, that's fine, but get back to bed.
Yeah.
And they go down there and thinking there's something odd about it. They go down and that person has been dead for clearly 10, 15 minutes, maybe more because they're cold. And so once happened once, they had quite a few. Many, if you talk to nurses, I talk to nurses in Barbados, was in Barbados for some years, and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital there is absolutely well known for a specific matron that's long been dead. So the point is that these things are there, and we've managed to crush it with science and ridicule and all these things. And I think it was to allow this nefarious, whatever it really is, to try and gain complete control change the world's population, at least dramatically. And it's all coming out now, I'm glad to say. It's all coming out.
So you, correct me if I'm wrong, you'd say that it's a spiritual battle rather than a physical one?
100%. Although I don't like the word spiritual. I think it's more accurate to call it dimensional. Than spiritual. I mean, I'm okay if you want to talk spiritual, but it tends to bring in elements that I don't like. But as far as I can tell, we are talking about energies, frequencies, and dimensional. That makes much more sense and can be explained. And as Graham probably spoke with you, physics has gone quantum, chemistry has gone quantum, biology needs to catch up. Yeah. But when we enter into the fully quantum area of science, I think we will be able to explain better the different realities, shall we say, that are running at the same time as ours. And then it will make sense when all this that's coming to light is exposed, why it seems rituals are practiced, because they most definitely are. And they're not doing it just because they like to dress up in costumes.
Have you seen the London Olympics again that has come to light very recently, 2012? I watched it again yesterday. I had to turn it off after 20 seconds. I just thought, this is poison.
It is poison. And, once you have eyes to see, you can't unsee. And the greatest fear, and I mean it, the greatest fear of these people, let's call them that, has been for us to see. But they also know that karma is real. Karma is real. You do reap what you sow. And so the way they've tried to avoid it, and they failed, in my view, they hide. And you see, the North American Indians, and I've spoken with them and several of their chiefs, you know, will tell you, if you want to hide something from the white man, and they consider all modern civilization white man, whether you be black or brown or whatever, is put it in front of their face. It's the last place they look. And it is. I mean, you just have to look at central London, the Square Mile, which is a separate state, the Vatican, which is a separate state, and Washington, D.C., which is a separate state. And they all have a monolithic Babylonian Egyptian needle, which is actually represents a penis. It's there. I mean, in Vatican, St. Peter's Square, you would think they would have a crucifix, but no, they have an Egyptian Babylonian symbol for all to see. It's all there, including huge pineal glands, which I won't go into.
In a courtyard as well. So they have the obelisk in the courtyard, which is representative of fertility. You got the, you know, doesn't take a genius. But as you say, once your eyes have been opened, and I can only speak from my experience, it was like that. I didn't choose that. It just happened. It was as if grace, it just happened through grace, or someone was looking after me or something. I don't know if that's, in your opinion, someone's looking after you, or whether it's your karma that you deserve to be able to see. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a very good question. You know, I can only speak on experiences and my beliefs and thoughts, but I believe that higher forces are at play. I absolutely, the Māori and the Aborigine will absolutely tell you your ancestors are you're representing your ancestors, and that they are with you. So it may be that it was with, in many cases that I've spoken with, but I do 100% maintain that if you ask for truth, if you open yourself and want to know, that you will be led into truths. And all the people that I've helped and seen independently find the truth, which tends to be every time the complete opposite of the narrative, have become extraordinary people. And have suffered greatly. But now I think we're coming into a time where their time is coming. And I believe when we all start working together properly, I mean, we've been working together for years, but in a very challenged environment. But when we all start working together properly, my goodness, what an exciting world this is going to become.
Yeah, I agree. We've been nearly an hour now. Let's just wrap this up with Donald Trump. What do you think of him? Because he divides opinion, doesn't he? But he's saying a lot of right things and doing a lot of right things by the look of it.
Yes, well, unpopular as it may be, I believe him to be a genius. And if you don't, you'll laugh. But I believe, especially if you go back and listen to Donald Trump 20, 30 years ago, he's been saying the same thing. But he is, as far as I can tell, he's taken this position when he was approached by at least 200 generals after 9/11. Where for them that was enough is enough, and where it was very, very obvious that 9/11 was not the official narrative. Even a 12-year-old can see things are not right. Yeah. And certainly thousands and thousands of engineers, structural engineers and architects have put their name that the narrative is 100% incorrect. But he is masterful, it seems to me, to keep his enemies right by him, to expose them, which is what I believe he's doing with Fauci and BRICS, who have been for years connected with Bill Gates, who and the pharmaceutical interests, and he has them out front for the whole world to see. And I believe that, I don't think he's infallible, Trump, but I think everything he's doing, he knows exactly what's going on. And time will tell, but it seems to me that his spelling mistakes in his Twitters are consistently meaningful.
Yeah.
When he makes a spelling mistake, I think it's incredibly interesting that no authority figure since JFK has spoken to the press as he does. And as we know, I mean, we've proven over and over again, we have people in our network that we can't name, unfortunately, because it's just not safe yet, that will tell us that they know people that write fictional news stories and get paid for it, right? So, but you can prove with your own, you know, your own research that the media is 100% compromised propaganda, or pretty much 100%, but propaganda. And so he's attacking probably the most powerful tool ever, I'd call it a weapon actually, ever used against mankind, is the media, the Western media. So we will see. I'm ever open to being wrong, but so far I've had quite a success rate over 30 years of being very close to being right, or close to the truth. So we'll see. But I want the people listening to know, even if I'm wrong, which I don't think I am, my intent, and all the people I work with around the world, and as many from high and low positions, have the same intent. And that intent is to free humanity, to free them to be able to live their life, to do whatever they want as long as they do no harm, to encourage prosperity, to encourage free thought, to encourage creativity, to encourage true science, and not restrict it by draconian laws. And I think that's what we're going to see.
Well, that's wonderful, Jeremy. Thank you very much for coming on. I've really enjoyed that. We went to places there that I haven't been able to go on with many people.
And I hope
keep my mouth shut a lot of the time, but I've studied ahead of a lot of all that stuff. So it was great that you opened up about that. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. Good on you for all your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Bye-bye.